church, and I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And I want to begin by reading. I want to talk today about seeing the beauty of God's providence in physical aging and death. And as some of you have shared, that it was really difficult to get here this morning, and as our sister shared, every obstacle gets in the way. And we deal with this thing called life, and we start out and we're babies, right? And we depend on our parents. We don't have a care in the world, and we grow up and we start getting more and more responsibility, and we move out in the world, get jobs, and the body is in our prime when we're in our 20s and 30s, right? And then our intellect and our wisdom starts to kick in when we get in our late 30s and hopefully 40s, and it continues to build. We start to mature. But then there's some other things that start to happen. While we're maturing spiritually, there's creaks and cracks and bumps and things along the road that things don't work as well as they used to. And wisdom tells me I shouldn't go down that slip and slide where I could have 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And there's things that hurt that you thought, I never thought that I had pain back there. Things start to get stiff. Ears, the hairs start to grow out of your ears and nose instead of the top of your head. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we say Abraham coming to face his death. And he was a man that lived a really good life. And I want to talk about it. I think it's important for all of us to see the beauty of God's hand at work no matter what age we're at. We all will face physical things in our life. We all will face this bodily process of decay. But the Word of God says inwardly we're renewed, and God is not done with us no matter how old we are. Look at Bob in his 80s, still going to the prisons and preaching the gospel up until his last days. No matter where you are at your stage of life, God has a plan and He works mightily. So listen carefully as we read verses 25, chapter 25, verses 1 through 18. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah, and that means spice. Even when you're old, you can have a little spice in your life. Just thought I'd throw that in there. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Ashuram, Letushim, and Luman. I probably messed up all their names, but they won't know. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, Elda, and all these were the children of Keturah. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still a living, he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the east country. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last, and he died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zor the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with Sarah his wife after the death of Abraham. God blessed Isaac his son, and Isaac settled in Beer Lahairoi. These are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's servant, bore to Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael, named in the order of their birth. And I'm just going to skip the names, firstborn, and on it goes, down to verse 16. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names by their villages and by their encampments. 12 princes, according to their tribes. These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. They settled from Havilah to Shur, which is opposite Egypt, in the direction of Assyria. And he settled over against all his kinsmen. And I was wondering at first, what is it about this passage that stands out. And really, when we come to that verse where it says Abraham died of a good old age, he lived a life, and it kind of gives the idea of satisfaction and completeness. And so how do we find that? Because for those of you that like automobiles and fixing cars, you'll appreciate this. Man is like an automobile. As it gets older, the differential starts slipping, and the U-joints get worn out, causing the drive shaft to go bad. The transmission won't go into high gear and sometimes has difficulty getting out of low. The cylinders get worn and lose compression, making it hard to climb the slightest incline. When it is climbing, the tappets clatter and the ping to the point where the one wonders if the old bus will make it to the top. The carburetor gets fouled with pollutants and other matter, making it hard to get started in the morning. It is hard to keep the radiator filled because of the leaking hose. The thermostat goes out, making it difficult to reach operating temperature. The headlights grow dim, and the horn gets weaker. The memory chip drops a few bytes, and the battery needs constant recharging. But if the body looks good with no bangs, dents, or chipping paint, we can keep it washed and polished, giving the impression that it can compete with the newer models and make one more trip down the primrose lane before the head gasket blows. Gentlemen, start your engines. I told Tanya last night, this sermon kind of goes against the grain of my principles because I want to be Eeyore and complain about every little thing that comes about and the creaking of the body and the soreness of the back. And don't worry, Jonathan and Alibaba and for any all in the back row, you'll get there someday. You'll experience all this. But when we look at this, there was a couple that was married 50 years, and the lady sits down and says, "Wow, things have really changed," she said. "You used to sit very close to me." "Well, I can remedy that." He moved next to her on the couch, and she said, "Well, gee, you used to hold me tight. How's that?" he asked as he gave her a hug. "And do you remember you used to nudge my neck and nibble on my earlobes?" He jumped to his feet and left the room. And she says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'll be right back. I got to go get my teeth." So nibble on the ears. You know, as we age, we'll one day die if Jesus doesn't return. Bruce just got that. Nibbling on the ears, Bruce. You need teeth to nibble. We can choose to continue to enjoy God's hand of blessing or work in our lives as we age, or we can go into the cave of complaining, bitterness, and despair. As we age, things change, and we cannot do everything we used to. Instead of focusing on what our bodies can no longer do and waste time desperately trying to recover our youth and get have Botox and have... you know, there are some people that go to extremes to try to stay young when they get old. And there are some things that we can do to take care of our body. But instead of wasting time trying to recover our youth, we can look at the blessing that God has given us each stage of life. And we look at how God is working right now. And there are some tasks that you can begin right now to prepare for your dying, to prepare well for death, to prepare well with leaving a legacy behind on earth. And that's exactly what Abraham did. He died of an old age, if it says a good old age. He was satisfied. So as God continues to be involved in each of our lives, what should we look for and what should we be doing? Now, there's principles in this text that we can look at. Look in verse 1. Even when you're old, you still need spice in your life. But the first principle is the blessing of relationships that God has given you. You can be as old and barely make it in and walk and creak, but still have vital, powerful relationships. Abraham, when tragedy struck and he lost his wife, his son got married. And we don't know if Abraham took Keturah before Isaac's marriage or after, but it was somewhere along those time frames. But when tragedy strikes, move on in life and look for how God is blessing you in your circumstances. Now, don't get stuck on how great the past was, because God is working right now in your life. Abraham said, you know, God has called, he's given me a promise, he's given me a blessing. But one of the part of the promise that God gave him is that you'd have many nations come from you. So he took another wife, some spice in his life. And they were married for the last 35 to 38 years of his life. And, you know, the spices, many Bible scholars believe that these sons were also, their names as they're listed here, associated with the Arabian Peninsula. And that's where they were famous for their spice trade of frankincense and myrrh and other spices that was vital for the economy. And remember, burial, and the Jews would use these spices for several different things in the temple. A vital part. But he sent the sons away so that they can come back and be blessed. I'm going to talk to you about that later. But don't miss out on the blessing of relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ, with your spouse. It doesn't matter how old you are. I love it when I see Gordon sitting on the pew back there just quiet. Sometimes he does this, if you notice. He does this little thing with his hand. But he spends time with people in their 80s all the way down to just nearly born. And somehow they sit next to him and he talks and carries on a conversation with him. Enjoy the relationships with others while you can. Abraham took another wife. He says, I'm not going to dwell in the past. He loved his wife, Sarah, above all. She was beautiful and was with him for a very long time. In fact, probably about 90 years of his life, 80, 90 years. Was with her. So look at the blessing of relationships. Number two, the blessing of enjoying your offspring and raising them. And if you don't have kids of your own, look around this sanctuary. This is our family. And watch for God's promise to be fulfilled. Age does not deter God's plan from working out in your life. So as we see in verses 2 through 4, he has more sons, more blessing that he has to raise up in the Lord and send them out because of the promise in chapter 17, verse 6. He says, I will make you many nations. The sons of Keturah went to the Gulf of Arabia. Ishmael's sons went downward to Egypt. Keturah's sons were sent away so that they can return to bless and have their final home. And so there was the big picture here. He sent them out because the salvation line was to come through Isaac, right? But there was a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 6 and 7, that talks about when these folks would come back and be blessed under Jesus Christ, and ultimately us, that says in Galatians that we are all sons of Abraham. But I want to read Isaiah 60. It says, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light. What light? The light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. And they gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. This is the prophecy of Abraham's sons. And your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and exult, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and frankincense. Speaking of those sons. And shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. The flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Naboth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. How is he beautifying his beautiful house? Because Jesus Christ, being the ultimate fulfillment of the promise to Abraham, the day will come when all these sons and all these nations will come to Jesus Christ. Somebody from every nation, every tribe and tongue, as it says in the book of Revelation. Could you imagine Abraham with heaven, with God, when Jesus comes back and this all begins to take place, and somebody from all of his sons, from Ishmael's line, from Keturah's line, and all of those sons and daughters, which is part of us, comes to glory to be with Jesus forever because they put their trust in the light of the world. He says, "Arise and shine." This is exciting. Your heart will throb with excitement. So the blessing of enjoying your offspring and raising them in the Lord, knowing our future and what it's going to be like. Now in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, I want to read you that so we can understand how this promise relates to us in Jesus Christ. We too can return to our final home because of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law and imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." You see this legacy that we're a part of for all those that repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. So as we age, as we go through each stage of life, as things begin to change, we can't get discouraged. Because we, after tragedy strikes, we need to move on and understand the blessing of relationships. Secondly, we need to understand the blessings of the offspring and raising them up in Jesus Christ. Because our final destiny is with Him forever. Now, how about the blessing of God's glory when it comes to obedience? Now, I want to point something out here in verses 5 and 6. He says, "Abraham gave all he had to Isaac, but to the sons he gave gifts, and then he sent them away." Now, that must have been hard and difficult to send them away, but he had to do it out of obedience to God. Perhaps they did that out of a sense of adventure to say, he gave them a gift and sent them off to procreate and to establish their trades and be blessed so that one day they can come back and be blessed in Jesus Christ through that family line. But the blessing, number three, of persevering in obedience to God. I want to encourage each and every one of you, as well as myself with the Word of God here, because Abraham was faithful to keep God's promise till the last day. As traumatizing as it was to send Keturah's son, the spice in his life's sons, away, it had to happen because the main inheritance was coming through Isaac. But he did it. He was faithful to persevere in God's plan, and he enjoyed God working through his family, different family members, in different ways. One, the inheritance came through. Others went and established the spice trade. Others went and went across the land, and now, as my beautiful wife shares every Sunday about some of the Middle Eastern peoples in these areas, are coming to Jesus Christ through dreams and visions and the preaching of the Word of God all around the world, and they're coming back to Jesus Christ, to this inheritance through Abraham. And so, stay faithful. Don't give up or compromise. And Abraham, being over 100 years old at this point, finally matured to the point he's like, "I'm not going to take any more shortcuts. I'm too tired to take shortcuts in my spiritual life. I don't want to waste time doing that. I want to enjoy my family and see them grow up and raise them in the Lord." It's the blessing of persevering. Abraham made sure Isaac was the sole inheritor, and he sent the sons away, and that must be hard And I think there's a principle in that, and as we raise our families, there's a time when we need to let go. You'll know when it's time. It's a time when we are enabling our offsprings instead of helping them, when they need to have that little gentle nudge to say, it's time for you to go and establish your own house. It's time for you to be out of the house. It's time for you to stop relying on me for everything. And, you know, like those TV commercials of the 30-year-old, 40-year-old guy that's still living in his parents' basement, there comes a time when we have to let go. And Abraham understood that with the sons that came from Keturah. And he enjoyed them. Don't get me wrong. Just because they weren't from his first wife, what grandfather or grandmother in here would not enjoy having more grandkids around? Because you can spoil them and send them home with their parents, right? And have fun with them. And when you get your fill of them, they'll say, it's time for mom and dad to come and pick you up now. Yeah. A lot of mumbling going on. Now, Galatians chapter 3, as we read on further in this text, it says, to give a human example, brothers, even when a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it's been ratified. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring who is Christ. Why? Because it had to come through the line of Isaac, but it's not many offsprings, even though it was Keturah and Ishmael, because he says now we're all one in Jesus Christ. It's to bring the family back together under one head, and that's Jesus Christ. And so that's what our mission is today, is getting the gospel out and sharing and bringing people to Christ. So the blessing of persevering in obedience. How do you know that you are getting older? Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You feel like the night before and you haven't been anywhere. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. Your knees buckle and your belt won't. Your knees buckle and your belt won't. Dialing long distance wears you out. The little gray-haired lady you help across the street is your wife. You sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. You wake up in the morning and your waterbed has sprung a leak and you realize you don't have a waterbed. When you watch a pretty girl go by, your pacemaker makes the garage door go up. When you know all the answers and no one asks you the questions, when you decide to procrastinate but never get around to it. That's an example of something that Chuck Swindoll wrote. We'll all be there one day. But enjoy the blessing of obeying God right now. And then not only that, the blessing of enjoying generosity. Be a good steward of your finances now so that you can be generous while you're still alive to your offspring. I cannot stress this enough, because when I was growing up, I didn't really learn and didn't listen and all that sort of thing about how to be a good manager of finances. So from my 20s on till I met this lovely bride here, I didn't really have a grasp. I was kind of living by the seat of my pants and going out to eat a lot. That's where all my money went. It was going out to eat, taking friends out, getting those snacks at the gas station and all that sort of thing, and enjoying life. But really, you need to start right now. It doesn't matter what age you are, if you haven't started, is to make sure that you learn to become a good steward of the finances that God has given you. Because look what he said. He gave Isaac his inheritance, but he gave gifts to all these other sons. And you say, well, God made Abraham rich. That's true. God blessed him, but he had to be good steward of all the things that God has given him to get to this place. He had to work full time. He had to save his money. So I want to encourage you, instead of going to the gas station and getting pop and getting those little snacks, that up, a dollar here, a dollar there, a dollar here, a dollar here, and save to go out to eat once a month. Save your money so that you can be a blessing and be generous to others. Now, there's two extremes. There's the extreme of people that want to climb the ladder, that get caught in the rat race and try to make as much money as they can so they can have all the toys they have and live in big houses and all this sort of thing. But, you know, it's kind of a mirage because most of the people that live in these huge houses are in deep debt up to their ears, and they don't give very much to God's church. They don't give very much to other people because they want to have that appearance of having everything. Don't have the appearance. Save to have things so that you can be generous to those around. There's no greater joy than being in a place because I gave up those wants, those temporary things. So when somebody has a need, I just love writing that check and say, here you go. But it takes discipline. Abraham did that. So here's the blessing as we grow in age is to become a good steward of our finances. And drink water, don't drink pop. You'll live longer and you'll save a lot of money. My grandfather said the water is one of the earth's greatest commodities. And it is. And all my life, at every meal, my grandfather, grandmother drank water. Well, he lived a good long life. My grandmother's still living at 89 and going to be turning 90. But there are just some things that we can do without, frivolous things, so that we can be a blessing to our offspring and to the family of God. The only debt, I'm going to get on I'm trying to earn some points with Tanya, the finance Nazi. That's probably not the way to do it by saying that. The only debt that you should be having is for your mortgage. And pay it off in 15 years. Preferably 10. Since I'm repeating right after her, that's earned some points there, didn't it? You know, we get into debt by buying furniture, cars, because we want to look like everybody else. Do you want to know? You might think that some of these new shirts and things that are expensive, they're only like a dollar shirt from a yard sale that my wife, this was a yard sale. It's my last attempt for summer. It's got anchors on it. The fall is, winter is coming. There are ways that you could live and be completely blessed in America by where you go to shop and by how you shop, so that you can be generous to others. Does my wife look like she comes from a homeless place? The way she dresses? Because certainly we don't have money to buy $300 dresses. She gets them for $5, $3, $10, $20 at Gabriel Brothers. Sometimes brand new things at thrift stores. She looks beautiful. So you see the point here. We don't really have to try to climb the ladder and have everything that everybody else has. There's a lot of pressure in the valley to do that. But the greater glory and the greater joy that Abraham experienced was that he was able to give to his sons while, did you catch that? He was still alive. He was able to enjoy being generous. He gave the inheritance to Isaac, but the gifts to the sons. Now listen to Proverbs chapter 13. And I want to invite you to turn there because this is so important in this aspect of as we age, as we grow, is to plan for our future. So one extreme, people, is that we want to try to work hard and get in the rat race and get as much as we can for ourselves. And then there's the other extreme is like, well, I don't want to do that. And so I'm not going to work. I'm going to work a part-time job. I'm going to do this. And then they don't have money either to give. So either side don't have money to give to anybody. So to be wise steward of what God has given us, Proverbs 13, it says, poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but he, whoever heeds reproof is honored. Now, you heard some teaching this morning, and I hear it from my beloved wife. Whoever heeds reproof is honored. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul. Oh, but I just want to have it right now. And I even make these comments to my wife because I want to go in debt and build a nice house on the top of that hill. I said, I won't even know that we have the house, right? But no, we got to wait and save till we have the money to build that house. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. Delay of gratification. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So if you're walking around with people that are just going in debt so they can look like they have it, or they're trying to live in poverty because they want to stick it to the man, and they're angry at what society has done and angry at what the president has done and what whoever else has done, and I'm poor because of this and blame everybody else. Whoever walks to the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Do you get that? Not only your children, but your grandchildren. But the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. The fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. The righteous have enough to satisfy his appetite, but the belly of the wicked suffers want. So the truth is when I look at my life and you look at your life, just to have a roof over our head and hot showers and car and a job and the things that God, that's more than enough. And to realize that the righteous are always satisfied. Do you understand the principle of that? Abraham was always satisfied because he did the delay of gratification thing. He was a good steward with all of his sheep management and the production of his crops and all those kinds of things that he was able to give to his kids, his grandkids, and send them off with enough money to go get started in another land. All right. So the blessings of enjoying generosity. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, but I encourage you to try that. Save a little money to give to somebody and see how that feels. It's God's way. Give and it shall be given to you. Without measure, Jesus says. So last of all, the last whole blessing of leaving behind a legacy. Leaving behind a legacy. Old age is dreaded by almost everybody, because it usually means loneliness, physical decline, and retreat into inactivity. Some people tend to lose their enthusiasm for life, and they spend too much time in fruitless reminiscing and self-pity. They feel like old Jimmy and the elderly gentleman George Mueller often told about. When this man was asked what he did all day since he had retired, he replied, "I just sit and think and sit and think. And sometimes I just sit." That's getting old in the worst way. Ceasing to live before you die. History records that many people made some of their greatest contributions to society after the age of 65. You know that? The Earl of Halsburg, for example, was 90 when he began preparing a 20-volume revision of English law. Goethe, who wrote Faust, the title Faust, at 82. Galileo made his greatest discovery when he was 73. At age 69, Hudson Taylor was still vigorously working on the mission field, opening up new territories to Indochina. And when Caleb in the Bible was 85, he took the stronghold of the giants. God never intends for us to retire from spiritual activity. He wants us to stay alive. While the New Testament says that outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Abraham left a blessing. He left a legacy. And I want to read that verse again in verse 8. Abraham breathed his last and he died a good old age, an old man and full of years. He lived a full life. Why? Because he enjoyed the legacy. He enjoyed God's work in his past. He was enjoying God's work in his present. And he looked forward to the legacy he was going to leave behind and the place that he was going to be with God forever. Oh, and it says he was gathered to his people. Raise your family in Jesus Christ, and the blessing will continue. Look in verse 11. After the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac, his son, and he settled in Beer Lahai-Rohamah. That's the end of verse 11 there. But note this. Beer Lahai-Roi, if I say that right, was where Hagar heard from God when he delivered her. That's where Isaac first laid eyes on his bride, Rebekah, out in the fields of Beer Lahai-Roi. And where in the future he was going to pray for his barren wife. See, Abraham saw his sons and his family going up. He saw the promise of God coming to pass. And he left behind a legacy of faith. He left behind obedience to God, a legacy of God's plan for salvation of the coming Messiah. But I want to read some verses really quick as we wrap this up today. Psalms 139:16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Did you know that the sovereign God, in his providence, there's a book that's written that records every single day of your life from the time you first came out of your mom's womb screaming till today. Every day is numbered by God, is planned out by God. God's hand is in it. And so we of all people should live a full life. Psalms 90:12, the psalmist says, David says, so teach us to number our days that we could get a heart of wisdom. So we can't number our days if we're complaining. We can't number our days if we're obsessed with trying to be like the world and like everybody else and the pressure of Taze Valley to look like everything is really good and we're wealthy and rich. Teach us to number our days. In chapter 39, verse 4 and 5, he says, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths. And my lifetime as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stays as a mere breath. What legacy will you leave behind? Will it be a legacy of you enjoying the blessing of your relationships and your offspring and raising them and your continued obedience to God's plan? Will it be the blessing of enjoying generosity later on in your life? Will it be that you enjoy the blessing of this legacy, enjoying your past and present, and looking forward to our eternal home? So Abraham left behind faith. He left behind faith plus works, which is obedience. And he left behind that legacy of faithfulness to the lineage of Jesus Christ and God's plan of salvation. So I want to ask if you would turn in your Bibles, and I'm going to close with a reading of this summary of Abraham's life in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 19. And I'll ask if our worship team would come and if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to read this. Follow along with me prayerfully as this grand summary of our study of the life of Abraham. This is the legacy that God wants us all to live, this full life. For no matter how old we are, no matter how many creaks are in our body, no matter how many obstacles get in our way when we try to come to church. It says in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents, and Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Are you looking forward to that? By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and they could see them through their offspring. Having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And I want to stop right there and remind you that Abraham left his homeland at age 75 and wandered as a sojourner in tents for over 100 years. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. The word of the Lord. Amen. Let's worship God and ponder these thoughts of the scripture today.
Our Father everlasting, the only